This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where each week we are capturing the magic of every love story. Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green Gomez, and we have Kayla in the studio. Actually, we're in your studio today.
Yes. Well, makeshift studio, whatever you want to call it.
So this is the Love Story Podcast where we tell all the love stories, and you're fortunate to have two love stories. Mm-hmm. We've done that in the past where we had the first love story and then we told the second love story. So we'll be having you back on for your second story, but we're going to tell the first love story that you have today.
Okay. Awesome.
So you and your late husband, is there like a, when we're talking about like being a widow and all of these things, is there some kind of like, what makes you feel comfortable when you're talking about?
I always refer to him as late husband. Okay. I feel like that's comfortable and appropriate. Some people may say different, but I don't think there's, to me, late husband versus being called a widow. I hate the term widow. I don't know why, but especially it's used. We live in Minnesota and hunting season. Everyone refers to it as come shop for widow's weekend. And I was like, I don't take offense to that, but I could see how people do because it's like, you're really not a widow. You didn't lose a husband. Your husband's just hunting. So late husband is definitely appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to tell the you and your late husband's love story.
Yes.
So the way that we kind of do this is like, I'll just kind of let you start wherever you want to start. And then if I have any questions or any, you know, anything to kind of follow up, but you can share as much or as little as you want to.
Okay. It's funny when I got this email, I was like, gosh, I do have two love stories and I don't think of it that way. Mm-hmm. Right. Like life happens. I'm fortunate, unfortunate. There's two ways to look at it of having two love stories. And so Kyle was my late husband. And I had to think about it over the weekend. I was like, gosh, what is my love story? How did we meet? You know how you forget those things. Yeah. So I was 16 years old, working my first job. Actually, I applied at Burger King, worked there for a day, realized how terrible fast food is, and was like, peace out.
Yeah.
I'm done with this. So I went to my local restaurant in town. I grew up in a small town of Foley, which is just east of St. Cloud.
So the Burger King then that you were working at, was that in St. Cloud?
East side St. Cloud. That is no longer.
Yeah, that old vacant building that sat empty for a long time.
My mom.
You left and everything went downhill.
It went downhill, literally. No, it is a car wash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here we are. So I went to the local restaurant because at 16, you can be a waitress, right? And I always had a love for people and chattiness. So it was a much more natural fit than flipping burgers in a microwave in the back of Burger King.
Don't tell me it's a microwave. It's flame grilled. Oh,
Something like that. So my first day, it was actually a family friend that had owned the restaurant, and classic small town. this was set up just like a regular cafe. They had a bar where all the old guys came mm-hmm. every day, like clockwork, 6 o'clock. Here's my dollar coffee. For a coffee. Fill it 15 times for me uh-huh. and I'm going to leave you a quarter. Have a yes. nice day. Super sweet.
That is a 25% tip. So
it is. You're right. You're right. And when coffee prices got raised, whoo, were they mad? And guess what? My tip went down.
Oh.
But it's okay. It was worth all the conversations yes. that we got to have.
Yes.
So working there, the owners of the restaurant had 4 kids, and one of them, we were classmates. We knew each other, pretty good friends. 2 of our siblings were older and 1 was younger. And so our older brother would come in and just kind of talk with me, whatever. And one day I'm sitting in school, and this is back, I was in high school, so 16 again. Mm-hmm. Our cell phones had to stay in our lockers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So all you youngins listening that are mad that like, that's oh, happening yeah. again, it's cool, all right?
Uh-huh.
So I go open my flip phone, my black and white LG
uh-huh.
back yes. in the day. And I get this message, and it was like, hey, want to go to dinner sometime? And I'm like,
random number. You have no
random
idea who
number.
It is.
So I'm asking my friends, I was like, you guys, I got this weird message. Anybody know who this is? And my friend Chelsea, she's like, yeah, that's my brother. I may or may not have given him your phone number.
Ooh, okay.
I was like, oh, thanks for letting me know. It'd be nice to have his number in there so it's not
yeah.
some random. So he asked me out to dinner, and I was hesitant okay. because I'm 16 and he's 21.
Okay.
So I was thinking in my head like, oh, how do I break this to my parents?
As the mother of a 15-year-old, if she was like, hey, this 20-year-old wants to take me out, it's not a conversation anymore after that. So, yeah.
Right. I know.
Being on the your side of it, how... you're like, I'm not doing anything. Like...
No.
Yeah.
And I totally saw it as, like, harmless. I was like, he's a really nice guy, whatever. Yeah. You know, just dinner. Who cares? My mom's like...
Yeah.
And I was like, please, just let me do it. So she did.
And you put this together that this was the same guy who was coming in and like chit-chatting with
now,
you.
Now, yeah, okay. like it, you know, whatever. He was flirty. It was fine. So we went on a date, and also iconic to downtown here, Ciotti's.
Oh,
we
yes.
went to Ciotti's.
Who picked the restaurant? Was it you or him?
He did, actually.
Okay.
And was good. Conversation was good. He drove. All was fine. Ironically, though, on the way home, he got sick.
Okay.
And he had to pull over on the side of the road, kind of by Minbok Fleet, Raleigh's area.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really think out anything of it, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, did something happen on our date? Like, why is he literally threw up on the side of the road? And we're like, maybe he got food poisoning. I don't know. But it was later on.
How did he handle that? Was he like, oh my God, like, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know. I must have eaten something bad, you know? So it became a joke. Like, remember our first date? I made you so nervous or so sick you threw up. But it's not that funny because as I progress with the story, it'll be like, oh my gosh, maybe that was a sign at the time. So anyways, fast forward, we basically start dating, hanging out. My parents became more relaxed as they got to know mm-hmm. him. Age isn't such a big deal, but at 16, it probably is a big, now having a daughter, I was like, oh my God, would I let my daughter do that? You know?
Yeah.
Hindsight.
But it's a little bit different when it's like, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
They knew his parents.
Yes.
So it was fine. It worked out. Having an age difference like that at that age was a little difficult at times. For instance, I wanted to go to prom. And mm-hmm. what 21-year-old wants to go to prom, especially guy?
Right.
What
right.
21-year-old guy wants to go to prom? So we just always figured out a way to make things work. I ended up going with a really good friend to prom.
Mm-hmm.
He came and took pictures with me before prom. Still, you know, was my boyfriend and all the things. But there were some things with the age gap that were difficult. He was progressing in his construction career. I wanted to go out and party with my friends mm-hmm. and do those things. So we had to learn how to communicate. Obviously, you're at different maturity levels, especially at, mm-hmm. come on, as teenagers, we think we know everything. Oh. And I would even tell my mom, like, it's fine. He has no intentions. You don't know. And my yeah. mom's like, we're going to have some conversations together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, it naturally progressed. We dated, eventually moved in together after I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. I graduated college the year after high school because I went post-secondary.
Okay.
So I graduated at 19, bought
my
first
house.
What were
you going to school for?
I went for architectural construction technology.
Oh. Okay.
Big title for basically housing design, okay. project management. But I graduated in 08 when anyone that lived through that, the housing market crashed and there was no freaking jobs.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I actually did find a job in the commercial world. Bought a house in Sauk Rapids.
And this is you and Kyle together?
I bought the house on my own because at that point I was like, well, we're just boyfriend, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll live together. We didn't live together at that point, but I was like, I'm 19, peace out. I'm not living with my parents anymore. Like,
that's really impressive that you started dating at 16. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, basically like already settled into his old man era at that point. Yep. And you're like, you graduate high school and you're like, cool, like I'm still gonna do me, gonna go buy my own house and whatever. So I guess I just naturally would have thought that you would have graduated and been like, okay, we're moving in together, but good for you.
That's my personality too. Like, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And I will say he was very respectful of that. Yeah. Also, like, that's cool. You can still, even though we have the age difference, I still want you to be you and grow up how you want to grow up and not force you into things. So it worked in that respect. Bought my house. And then he actually worked in the union. And back then, work was kind of scarce in Minnesota too. Again, fallout of 08. So he worked pipelines in the Dakotas. So actually, he was gone a lot. So I still had my house, had my friend group. My friends are going through college, doing all that life. Still got to hang out a lot. I worked at a local bar, actually, in Sauk Rapids, and kind of filled my time working, hanging out with friends. And then when he got to come home, we got to spend time together. So,
and your friends, were they all like, when you guys were dating and everything, were they like, oh my gosh, this is so cool, we love him? Or were they like, like, how did everybody receive that?
Again, small town. So I feel like half my friend group was related to him.
Okay.
Everyone knows how that is in a small town. So they knew him. I think sometimes it was hard for my friends, honestly, because he didn't always want to hang out with us or wasn't around to hang out with us. They're like, they had boyfriends that we all hung out, and then it was just me who had a boyfriend, but he wasn't there. So they're like, bring him around. And it's not that he didn't want to be there, but again, maturity level or different spots in life, he's like, no, you go do you. So it wasn't until we got older where my friends were like, it's not they didn't think he was cool. They were just like, Kayla, you're never together type thing.
Right.
But partially it was working situations. Partially it was age difference. Yeah. So they were all cool. They were supportive. We kind of did the on again, off again thing. So I feel like that's what you always do with. I mean, he was not my first boyfriend, but one of my first serious boyfriends. So it was like, I love you today. Oh, I don't really like you anymore.
Yes.
Which turned into, let's see, at 25, we got engaged. So I feel like it worked. We, again, when you're young, you're still figuring yourself out. You're figuring out how to work together. So we grew together a lot, which is, you learn now that you're 35, 36, you're like, that is what a relationship is.
Yes.
You grow together. So we continued our lives together. I think he moved in with me, I don't know exactly, maybe a year after I bought my first house. We lived in Sauk Rapids together, both had jobs, continued working, and then he took forever to propose. And I was like, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
And he would always tell me, like, you're not ready yet.
Oh.
And I took offense to that.
Yeah.
I was like, who are you to tell me that I'm not ready?
Yeah, I'm telling you I'm ready. I know myself.
But you know what? That was probably one of the coolest things he could have done. Because any guy could just, I mean, I look back at my grandparents. They got married, engaged at 18, 19. He honestly wanted to make sure that I was ready for the next chapter of our life. And now I look back and smile and I'm like, okay, that was a really cool thing that he did. So
what was he, in your mind, like, what do you think he was waiting for?
I think personally for me to grow up in some ways, are you, you know, when you get married, sometimes I think, especially at a young age, we live in such a fantasy world where it's like, oh my gosh, I want the ring, I want the wedding. And then you don't realize, like,
it's
supposed to be forever.
Yes.
I'm not saying it can't be forever because, you know, things happen in life. But he was just waiting for me to fully be like, I'm in. This is what I want. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And it's not that I never didn't want that, but you have to be ready for it in some ways. So we lived together and I remember joking like, hey, the longer you take, the bigger my ring gets. And that's so materialistic. But at this point, it would have been 10 carats. And I knew I wasn't getting a 10 carat ring. I'm trying to think of how how the proposal actually went down, because it wasn't anything that I ever had imagined in my head. This is how it went.
Were you expecting it? Were you like, oh, I can feel it. It's coming any day now? Or
we looked at rings at one point.
Okay. Which is even even worse when you're like, I'm picking up my ring and everything. Yeah. I know what it looks like. And now you're still going to make me wait for it?
I take that back. I had given them inspo pics. Okay. You know, I think Pinterest had just started being a thing when we were looking. And then we didn't go look before he proposed, actually. I just gave him inspo pics. Okay. I think I actually had a Word document with pictures on it. And I either gave it to him or his sister. I can't exactly remember how that went down. But I was like, okay, here's kind of what I like. I want a round princess cut. And then gave him some ideas. So I had been traveling for my job at that point and had come home later that evening. Let's say it was like 5-6 o'clock. He was weird. He's just weird. I don't know. He's just acting kind of weird. I didn't suspect anything of it.
Okay.
But then we're getting ready to go to bed, and we're either thinking about selling our house or just sold our home and we're going to build a house. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I want you to come in the kitchen and look at this house plan book. And at this point, it was like 8-9 o'clock at night. And I was like, no, I'm tired.
These jammies are gone.
I was gone all week. Like, I don't really want to do that right now. And he's like, no, like, I found a really cool house plan I want you to look at, whatever. So I'm like, ugh, fine, go to the kitchen. And then he got down on one knee and proposed in our kitchen. Not exactly the fairy tale under the bridge, you know, right. All the things. But it was actually really sweet. And he said something like, you know, want to start our future together. And I think we did sell our house. So we were moving, officially buying a house together, doing all the things. And he proposed. And my ring was pretty much exactly what I wanted. And mm-hmm. he fully picked it out. So,
okay.
Yes, we did not go look at it before. Sorry, had to recollect what we all did.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So we got engaged in, let me think about this, September of 20, it was like actually August of 2012.
Okay.
We did not set a date right away because we weren't really sure. Summer, winter wedding. I decided I really wanted a winter wedding. Well, at that point, like 2013 would have been really close. So we went 2014. Mm-hmm. So we had like a whole year and a half to plan. We were living in an apartment while we were trying to find land/build, kind of in between homes, working all the things. I had the date set as 2/22/14. And we picked Jack and Jim's Event Center in Duelm, mm-hmm. which was a family friend. I had worked there forever. Gonna get married at Joy Christian Center, Eastside St. Cloud, because that's the church we belong to. So wedding planning was fairly easy. Mm-hmm. Again, Pinterest had just started being a thing. I kind of knew. I had just pictured like a black and white wedding, but then pink was my favorite color. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do like splashes of pink. So I picked Gerber daisies, which as a florist, you'll appreciate this. Not that easy in the middle of winter. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted black middles, which I didn't know the flowers didn't actually grow that way. You have to like spray paint
them. Some of them. If you don't specify.
Okay.
Yeah, then you do have to.
So another family friend was John Malachowski, who owned Blooming Creations at the time.
We're going to have John and Jim on too.
Yes, love it. We love John and Jim.
Yes.
So John, ironically, worked for my now, well, they were my in-laws. They had owned the restaurant. John worked there back in the day.
Yes.
So we worked at the same. He worked at Jack's, it was called. And then when I worked there, it was Dewey's Restaurant.
Sure.
So shout out to John if he's listening. But John actually did all of our flowers. And then my husband, my late husband, was a hunter. So we did, I feel like this isn't as unique now, but it was back then, like the shotgun shell, boutonnieres. He wanted camo tuxes, and I was like, over my freaking dead body. Am I having camo?
You get one hunting related thing.
I compromise, and he actually did snow camo vests. So I will say, for a black and white wedding, it was just a small little detail that you couldn't. He wasn't getting no snow camo jacket. I was like, I will draw the line somewhere. Yes. So wedding planning, like you said, was pretty simple. Where our love story kind of changes is in September of 2013.
So this would have been, you had just gotten married in...
We didn't get married yet. Okay. So this was 6 months before our wedding.
Okay.
Which this relates back to him getting sick on our first date, I feel like. He went in for a routine colonoscopy because he was having some issues. Mm-hmm. And in his colonoscopy, they found something on the scan, a possible tumor. They'll never call it that until they do like a biopsy and all the things. So he had the colonoscopy. 2 weeks later, he went in for surgery, and they thought it was just going to be simple because this in the colon world, this is simple. They take part of it out where your tumor is, resect it back together.
Yep.
You go on living your life. Well, when they got in there, they determined cancer was outside of his colon in his lymph nodes, and so it was a lot worse than they had thought.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com or Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon. Audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark. So now does that make it, like, is it like, I'm not familiar with cancer. So when we're talking about, like, it's, they think it's in one spot and then they find out that it's kind outside of in a secondary location or whatever, does that change the, like,
stage?
Okay.
Yep. So he went in thinking, usually when it's contained inside, it's a stage 2. When it's outside and in lymph nodes, it was stage 4.
Okay.
So colon cancer has 4 grades. It was the worst grade possible. He's 30, fairly healthy. I mean, he was a construction worker that probably ate out of gas stations far too often and grew up, you know, with families owning restaurants. So he was fairly healthy, but not something you think you're going to hear at 30.
Right.
So that changed a lot, right? 2 weeks later, he was having surgery, like I mentioned, and then chemotherapy was on the docket.
Yeah.
So that period up to our wedding, it just changed a lot of things. Nothing changed about our wedding. A lot of people are like, oh, are you still going to get married? Are you going to change anything? And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through this. And Kyle was just straight up determined. He's like, I'm going to make it to my wedding. I want to feel the best that I can and look the best that I can.
Why don't we have tissues for this, Abby?
I know. I said I wasn't going to cry today.
Okay.
So it didn't change how I planned things, but it changed a lot of things about our future, right? We now had to think about, before you go into chemotherapy can affect your sperm. And we had to think about that. Mm-hmm. What does the future look like for us?
And so... at this point, when you say stage 4 colon cancer, he had gone in what was going to be a biopsy, then it was just going to be a quick surgery. They were like, oh, nope, we have to do more. Mm-hmm. Is this something that's like, this is still routine, even though we're at the worst grade? Is colon cancer something where they're like, we're talking like lifespan at this point, or is it?
It's funny. It depends on who you talk to, right? The surgeon's like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to remove. Well, it was supposed to be a pretty, actually laparoscopic surgery. It was fully cut open, 13 plus hour surgery. So that changed the minute they figured everything out. Then when you meet with oncologists, you know, Kyle was a very inquisitive person. So he would ask questions. And I think he asked, like, what are my chances if I have chemo, if I don't have chemo, what's life expectancy mm-hmm. with a stage 4 diagnosis? And they would always say, you know, we don't like to give that, but based on research or based on what we've seen in the past, you're healthy, you're 30 years old, we think you can beat this, but life expectancy typically is 6 months. 6 months was our wedding.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd sit there and be like, all right, God, is this a test? Like, holy crap. And in the moment, I didn't even think about our wedding day. But when you look back and when people were asking us, are you still going to get married? I'm like, no wonder why they were asking. Like, that's a lot. I was 25 at the time. So none of my friends had been through cancer. Yeah. Some of my friends had been married, had been not married yet. It's just, I was in a very different time period than everyone else was. And so he did some chemotherapy. He lost probably 50, 60 pounds. So he looked like a totally different person. Mm-hmm. He never lost his hair, but he actually looked so healthy, so good. And he, you know, stood at our wedding. He looked like a normal human being. You wouldn't know he ever had cancer. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of his initial goal, is like, I'm going to make it to my wedding day and I'm going to feel good.
Yeah.
And so it was a fairy tale winter wedding. Mm-hmm. Reason why I had it in the winter was, if you've ever seen winter photos of weddings, it's so freaking beautiful. We live in Minnesota.
Yes.
So beautiful. And all I wanted was a bunch of snow. And the Lord gave me, I think it was almost like 18 inches of snow 2 days before our wedding. I kid you not. We had to have, our neighbor owned a huge construction company. He came in with this massive loader and got the snow out of our driveway because he knew our wedding day was coming up, and there was so much snow, you guys. It was so beautiful. We took pictures down here at Lake George. Mm-hmm. It was 14 degrees the day of our wedding.
Yeah.
It was so freaking cold. We had a bus, and I had all the girls had fur coats. I had, like, the Beauty and the Beast coat with the fur hood and all the things. And so we'd be like, 1, 2, 3, ditch the coats, smile. You know, the poor photographer had to Photoshop the breath, the steam coming out of our mouths because it was so cold. But it was a perfect day. We had about 425 people at our reception. So people that are listening, that's a normal Midwestern, huge small town wedding, especially when parents are business owners. That's kind of how it goes. Mm-hmm. When I talk to East Coast people, they're like, 400 people. We have like 50. I know. Midwest is weird. We like our big weddings. Uh-huh. The only other thing that didn't go so well is it was so cold, the septic system froze at the event center.
Ooh, yeah.
So they had to walk people over. Luckily, they have a restaurant. They had to walk people over to use the other bathroom. I didn't know about it till the next day because obviously a bride shouldn't know about that. Yep. But everything went off without a hitch. It was beautiful. We had a pretty big wedding party, friends, family, and it was just, I look back now and I think for a lot of people, it was not only our wedding celebration, our love story, but it was a celebration that, like, Kyle made it 6 months. He basically surpassed his life expectancy that he was given.
Yeah.
Which is weird to be talking about because, you know, your wedding day should just be a celebration of your future. And our future is, to some extent, a little uncertain. We didn't know what it was going to all entail.
So the family, you know, what's kind of that like family reaction as you guys are like, okay, we're still getting married, but now we've got this cancer diagnosis and kind of everything. Like, what was the, like, who were the people that you were like, these were the supporters, these were the, you know?
Honestly, like, all of our friends and family were amazing. Helped us in a lot of ways. We kind of had another bomb shortly after the wedding. So Kyle's mom I think it was either the week before our wedding or the week of our wedding. She didn't tell us, but she had found a lump in her breast. Yeah. And she actually was diagnosed with breast cancer. Wow. So you have a mother-son duo going through cancer at the same time. You know, her situation was a little bit different. She, I believe, went through a mastectomy, if I remember right. It was, again, it's blurry because it all happened at the same time. But basically, shortly after Kyle, she had surgery. She didn't have to do chemotherapy or anything like that. But she had told us that after we got, after our wedding day. She was like, I didn't want it to be about me. I didn't want anyone else to know. But our family was uber supportive. And cancer's kind of weird. Again, Kyle surpassed his six-month mark. Felt really good for a year or two, but you have to go in for scans and see how things look. And we always held our breath. And I always knew when they were coming up because Kyle acted so strange. Like, you could tell mentally he's like, please don't say the word again.
Yeah.
And it was like a year and a half after he was cancer-free, his cancer came back. And it just kind of dominoed from there. So he had multiple surgeries. At one point, we actually went down to Mexico and did some treatment down there, which was quite the experience. And we changed our lifestyle. He ate super clean, super healthy, really stopped drinking just because he's like, look, I'm going to take care of my body. He didn't need it in his life, right? And then eventually the cancer just kind of got the best of him. We ran out of options and were limited on what they could do. So it came to a point where we just had to make decisions and kind of live out his life.
And is this, so when you're talking about like where he's at in the cancer journey, so you guys had gotten married, and then when you said a year and a half after he was cancer free, was that he was cancer free?
His cancer came back. So this was no longer cancer free.
So you were, he was diagnosed 6 months before your wedding, was given 6 months of a prognosis, made it to the wedding.
Yep.
And then at what point after, how long after the wedding was he, did they say he was cancer-free?
It was probably about a year.
Okay. So you guys are married a year and a half, so and then he's cancer-free. And then, so then about 3 years since you've gotten married. So you've been married for about 3 years, and they're like, okay, now we've got some other, we've got some news.
Yeah. And in between there, we had, I think I mentioned it earlier, we had figured out something happened during Kyle's surgery where he couldn't have kids. Okay. And so we went through that a little bit. I think that was crushing for Kyle. If you know him, he loved kids. He, every kid loved him. He was like a magnet. And so I think that was a little bit soul crushing. Not only was it soul crushing for him, but for me, I think that was a hard thing to realize is like, we are not going to have a family together. And there was other means, right? You could adopt and do all the things. But as time went on, we realized all of that was kind of out of the question. He felt really good in that year after the wedding. And then as things started taking over in his body, it became harder, right?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So he couldn't work because of some of his surgeries, or he'd have to take extended time off of work. He would take extended time off of work. We didn't do a lot of travel or anything like that just because his body could no longer take it. One big thing that we did do was a honeymoon. Obviously, we had to wait after our wedding a little bit because he was still going through cancer treatments and things like that. And so in February of, it was actually January of 2015. So about a year after we got married, we went to Hawaii. And if you've ever been to Hawaii, it's literally like heaven on earth. It's the most beautiful place ever. So that was kind of a big accomplishment for us. Not only did we save pennies to get there, but it was just 10 days where we could just enjoy life, forget about all the cancer diagnosis, and just enjoy Hawaii together. And that's probably one of the last things that I remember him feeling good, looking good, and a lasting memory I'll have forever of just enjoying the two of us. Yeah. Because a lot of our marriage was revolved around cancer and getting to treatments and getting to the hospital and just going through all that. You know, when he was on chemo, he was sick and I couldn't cook things in the house and he would throw up. And now having kids, it was a lot like having kids. I remember sleeping on the edge of my bed and just listening for him and sounds. And a lot of times it was helping him to the bathroom. And just, obviously, it's not the love story that anyone thinks of, signs up for, but it's for better and for worse. And call it lucky or unlucky, I got to experience that at a young age and give me perspective of what true love actually is.
So all of this is happening. And then where is your mother-in-law in her journey?
Her journey was maybe 6 months. I feel like breast cancer. So she got her mastectomy. She didn't have to do any chemo. And then she kind of went through a reconstruction. So hers was about 6 months after Kyle's. And then she's been good ever since.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys were, you did the Hawaii thing, you had your honeymoon, and then you came back, found out shortly thereafter that he was back going through the cancer experience again. Yep. And then what was kind of the, those following days, weeks, years?
Yep. So after Hawaii, it was a lot of surgeries. We eventually were down at Mayo Clinic. He went through two major reconstruction. Each time they would take more of his colon out. Mm-hmm. The more of your colon you take out, eventually there's not enough colon to make your system work anymore. So he did end up with a colostomy bag towards the end of his health cancer journey. The doctors did a really good job. He resisted that as long as he could, but that's when he really kind of mentally, he was so good through the whole thing. And I think a lot of your cancer journey is a mental journey as well. Once he got that colostomy bag, it's kind of like his man card was pulled a little bit. And I just watched him go downhill so fast.
And at this point in time, you guys are how old?
At this point, I was 26 and he was 32. So fast forward, we get married in 2014, kind of 3 years on and off of hospital stays, surgeries, recovery, can't work, can work maybe for a couple days. Then he feels not so great. It was a lot of up and down for years. The last 6 months of his life, so probably December of 2016, was when we got basically the news that we can't do anything else.
Sure.
This is it. So I, as a caretaker, was all right, what's on your bucket list? What do you want to do? And I think Kyle was just I don't feel good most days, so I'm good. I don't want to do anything. And I was no, I don't care. I'll push you in a wheelchair. Let's cross off some of your bucket list items. And he just did not have the physical capacity to do so. So for me, that was a little hard because I wanted more than anything to make the last, however long he had left, just so incredible. But then it's a little perspective too that he was okay with all he had already done in his life. And he was okay with, I'm let's go to Alaska and I'll push you up the mountain in a wheelchair. And he's
be real.
Yeah. Basically he's pipe down, Caleb. So the last 6 months was a lot of tough conversations. Again, I don't want this to be, the love story that had a terrible ending. But in some ways, this is good for people too who are just getting married, right? We had to talk about a will. Mm-hmm. We had to talk about healthcare directive. What if you get in a situation? Do you want to be resuscitated? What does that even mean? We had to talk about, life after Kyle, which was never a conversation I wanted to bring up, but it was actually something that was the top of his mind. And he's like, I'll never forget this. We were sitting out in our screen porch in the back of our house. It was so peaceful. And a lot of times I would just sit there because, again, towards the end, he's kind of a man of few words. Because imagine, like, I try to put myself in his shoes, but imagine you're told there's nothing else we can do for you. So you're basically just waking up every day being like, is this going to be my last?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. And I remember how sometimes mentally depressed he would be, which, put yourself in that person's shoes, right? You're sitting on a couch all day and you're like, I have no purpose to life anymore. I remember him saying, like, I just want to go to work and have a purpose. And I felt for him, but there was also nothing I could do. And so sometimes I just let the peace and quiet take over. But today he's like, you know, he's like, I really hope someday you find someone that treats you like I did and treats you like a princess. And I hope you can have kids with that person and they can give you all the things that I couldn't. And as a wife, you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What do you even say to that? You know,
yeah.
Because at that point I had never pictured life after him. Like, obviously I knew what was coming, but you can ask anyone, like, I had no interest in getting married again. I didn't care. I just, honestly, I was just going to travel and live my life and do the things that maybe I couldn't the last few years because I was taking care and making sure Kyle was okay. But some of those conversations are the most treasured. And I feel so fortunate because now I have friends, or I had a friend too. She had lost her husband the exact same day as Kyle.
Ooh.
1 year prior in a car accident. And she had two kids. And she goes, I would give nothing more than to be able to say I love you or have one last conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to have that. I got to have final conversations. We got to talk about what Kyle wanted his funeral to look like. Possessions, who should get what, all the things that you don't really think about until someone's no longer here. We got to do that together. And that was worth everything. I feel very fortunate to be able to have those conversations and know how he felt, what he mm-hmm. wanted. I told him, you know, towards the end, I'm like, please send me signs. I want to know that you're okay. And I had some crazy signs after he passed.
Did you talk about it? Were you like, okay, ring a bell three times? Like, did you know? Like, did he know?
There's so many weird things. But one of the coolest things, and I still have this picture on my mantle in my house, the day he was buried, it was in August, like the first week in August. So August is normally hot. Kyle hated hot. He loved winter. Winter was his favorite season. You guys, it was 40 degrees that day. The day we buried him, and it freaking poured. And so that night, though, after the rain, I kid you not, there was a sunset in our backyard, and we always had beautiful sunsets in our backyard, but it looks like the heavens were literally shining. And I'll have to bring the picture up and show you, but it was just like, that was sign number one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have already heard this story, but sign number two was, it was Benton County Fair Week, and I went to the Benton County Fair with some friends, and we're walking the animal barns like you do.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking through the horse barn, and this horse is like going crazy, neighing, and just like, and I hate horses, mind you. Sorry.
Because I got hated horses.
Bucked off a horse one time. I don't know. And so I turn around, and this horse, you know, they have their awards and the names of their horses. And there's a poster, and the horse's name is Indy. And I didn't talk about it yet on this podcast, but Kyle's motto during his cancer journey was, I'm not done yet. And we coined that as Indy. Like,
mm-hmm.
You got this, Kyle. You're not done yet. And so I was like, son of a gun. And why I say that is we talked about starting a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, that's sign number two. Then the other sign was, a lot of times I would go for walks. And we had a yellow lab together, Max. And I took Max on my, actually, run. And this monarch butterfly followed me for almost a mile, you guys. And I was like, okay, well, that's not coincidence.
Like an eternity in butterfly life. Like,
so it was long. Nuts. And I'm like, okay, at one point I was like, what the heck? This thing keeps flying, yes. You know? So there were so many signs along the way, and there still is today. all I told him was like, please don't haunt me. And some days I'm like, why does my nose itch so bad? Or this freaking fly keeps, you know, you just wonder.
Yes.
Like, what happens after?
Yes.
More than anything, when I saw that sunset, I'm like, amen, he's pain-free. Because towards the end, I mean, he was in so much pain. There's nothing worse than watching someone get up every day and just hurt. So that was worth everything to me. Yeah, I still think he haunts me at times. And I'll save it for the next podcast. But how I met my now husband, Mitch, is like, you guys, you can't even make it up. So, I mean, I'll preface it with, I spent a year just traveling after Kyle died because I was like, you know what? I honestly needed to find myself again. Yeah. I was 28, a widow. My friends were having baby showers, bridal showers. Mm-hmm. Some already had kids. And I was like, oh, I guess I get to check out the dating app world, which yay me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready. And I don't know why, but what scared me the most is I didn't want to share the last 4+ years of my life. Me and Kyle had been together 12 years total. I wasn't ready to share all that with someone. Like, it's a lot. And oh, by the way, I have a nonprofit that basically is centered around him. Like, I had no plans on finding a man that was gonna be like, yeah, that's cool.
Right.
So I spent a year traveling. Literally, I think the first 3 months after he passed, I was home 2 weeks out of those 3 months. Mm-hmm. I went to Hawaii. Some friends of mine were like, hey, we're going to Hawaii for Christmas. Do you want to come with? Just buy your flight. And I was at Europe. I was in Europe at the time with my best friend because we booked a Europe trip. We backpacked for 10 days and planned it 2 weeks before we went. Highly suggest that. That was that was amazing. Kyle's birthday is December 24th over Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to be home for that because anyone that's listening, like the first are the worst. Mostly because, like, what do? Do you just cry? Do you celebrate? It's just weird. It's the first or the weirdest thing. So, went to Hawaii. We actually went to church service on the beach.
Ugh, how magical.
And they baptized people in the ocean that day. It was, like, the coolest experience ever. And I was like, I'm meant to be here. And then traveled some more. I finally decided around a year mark. I think it was like 1 week before. No, it was 4th of July. Kyle died July 31st of 2017. In 4th of July, my best friend had been single for a long time. And I think this is why I thought dating apps suck so bad. Because she should be on this podcast. And I've told her 100 times, you need to write a book with all the stuff she's run into on dating apps.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, fine. Help me make a profile. So I make a profile. I don't even remember. I think it was Bumble where they have to like swipe you or something.
Yeah.
You guys, I was on it for such a short time. Don't take my opinion. And I'm like, I hate this. Like, it's a judging a book by its cover. I have to read all this guy's crap. And I don't know. It just wasn't for me. So I was like, I log out and I'm like, I'm going to find someone the old fashioned way. And I did. And I laugh about it because July 4th, my parents lived on a lake up north. There's what, 10,000 lakes in Minnesota?
Yeah.
We are on an island, and my best friend, who's been on dating apps for 8 years, we're, like, playing out, and I was like, oh, my gosh, there's some hot guys over there. I was like, wonder if any of them are single. Well, I happen to know a mutual friend that was, like, with that group. And I was like, are any of them single? And she's like, no, I think they all have girlfriends. And I was like, yeah, of course, that's how it always goes, whatever. And then she comes back, she's like, one of them's single, and that's the one that I thought was, like, super cute. So we end up playing, like, Beers B with him all afternoon. And then, I don't know, the rest was kind of history. And I remember my best friend that night, she's like, dang it, Kayla, you're going to end up getting married twice before I get married once. And she kind of chuckled. But, yeah, I met someone the old-fashioned way on one of 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. So
I can't wait to bring – so your husband, Mitch – I mean, spoilers, obviously, because whatever.
Spoiler
but,
alert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we'll bring him on next time.
Yes.
And get to talk with him too. I love hearing like the other side of it too, where it's just like what was he thinking when all of this is going on? And
I know, I'm very curious. I was always like, so, cause I don't want to spoil it, but I'm like, did you Google me or like, what, why do you know about me?
Yeah.
He's like, well, maybe. So yeah, I can't wait to hear his perspective too.
So with everything then, I mean, you've lived many lifetimes mm-hmm. in, you know, you've had so much more experience at your age and even younger than so many people had.
Yeah.
So what was kind of your, like, as you're going through all of this and everything, like, what was it that you think Kyle really wanted to kind of, like, what was his, other than obviously like the Indie Foundation and everything that you guys are doing there,
yep.
like what's kind of the, like, legacy, like, as you guys were going through this?
I think Kyle was such a simple, lovable guy.
Mm-hmm.
He always lit up a room no matter what. And I think a lot of people remember him for that. His personality, his smile, everything. One of his dying wishes is he didn't want to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told me that, I was in the hospital one time, I kind of laughed and it was like, people can't forget you. And today, people have not. Like, they'll be like, do you remember when he did this? Or, gosh, he was so funny. And so I think that was really part of his life to be lived here, was to live a legacy that no one is going to forget. Mm-hmm. He always made everyone feel welcome, feel loved. Like, the song Simple Man just comes to mind, and that's actually what him and his mom danced to as their wedding song. And he was a very simple man that just loved everything. So I think he leaves that legacy behind, and I think he leaves behind, like, life's too short. Mm-hmm. So live it, do what you want to do, and don't wait, because in his case, tomorrow's not promised for anyone, but his life was really cut shorter than I think he ever imagined.
Yeah. I can't wait to bring on your husband for episode 2 so we can kind of see how the story progresses.
Love story round 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for everything that you do for the Cancer Warriors. Do you want to kind of give your podcast a plug, give all of that kind
of
little?
I can do that. Yes. So Indie Foundation, we are a local nonprofit that gives to local cancer warriors. We just started a podcast as well called Connecting Through Cancer. One thing that I learned along cancer journeys is people love to connect, right? So we found there's a huge need, want to connect parents of littles that are going through cancer, cancer warriors, any way we can connect people. So that's kind of why we started the podcast. And we just launched, I guess, a couple weeks ago. So if you're listening, check out Indie Foundation, Connecting Through Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have lots of different guests along the way, but we would love your follow. And you can also follow Indie Foundation on Facebook, Instagram, or Google us, of course, and you'll find out more information as well. So thanks, Ashley, so much.
Yes, thank you, Kayla. Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can follow us on all of our socials, on the Love Story Wedding Show, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you would please leave us a rating and review, it helps a ton. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.